hacen su corriente y paula en la alegría que nos baña. Una se pregunta de dónde tanta fuerza, de dónde Marcelina.
So Tim, we want to thank everyone for calling in. Before we go to cabaret, we met our goal. We exceeded our goal of $500. So that is fantastic. We want to thank everyone for calling in. We got Randy who called in, and he has renewed his membership. And we also got Carol calling in, and she is giving an additional contribution. Thanks so much, Carol. And that's... this evening's program. This has been Hemispheres. We're going to go move on to Cabaret. And the time is 7:01. This is KGNU 88.5, or KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM and 1390 AM.
The time is now 7 o'clock. You are tuned into KGNU Boulder, Denver, and this is the Cabaret program. I'm your host, Riley Ann, and we have the treat of having the Unfortunate Rakes in our studio tonight, and as well as a live studio audience.
Woo-hoo. That's here for the live studio.
We're getting rowdy in here.
Yeah.
So, would you, Unfortunate Rakes, like to start off with a few tunes?
Well, sure, we will. they really are a live audience. And speaking of live, I just have to mention that wheezing you heard at the beginning, that wasn't me breathing over a cold. That's the bellows of the pipes, which are really they've been an adventure at this altitude, haven't they, Mr. Fowler?
Kind of. Yeah. Well, they're old.
And they're old. Yeah, they are old.
A little bit too much tape on it.
Yeah, thanks. So great to be back here at KGNU. This is like second home. You know, I love being here.
That's great. It's great to have you on here and be in the studio with you.
Well, it's just a lot of fun and great to have some audience and help celebrate all the things we're celebrating this week, because we got some pledging going on, I hope. I hope some people are going to be calling in their KGNU love.
Yeah, we are in the midst of the spring membership drive, and I understand that you do have some CDs as gifts for some people who call in and make donations during the shows.
We do. As a matter of fact, that set we just played opens up that recording. It's called Rakes Alive. And we'd love to make it available for folks pledging. So get your pledges in and go home with some music by the Unfortunate Rakes.
That's great. What a great gift for people to make, a gift to community radio. Yeah. If you were interested in donating to KGNU, it's a great way to support live music on the radio, great way to hear local and touring artists. You can go to kgnu.org, or you can call in the studio. We have Gavin and Jennifer on the phones, and that number is 303-449-4885. So again, if you donate during the show, you can get your very own copy of the Unfortunate Rakes CD delivered to you.
We'd love to help.
Hey, I'm looking for my phone right now.
Yeah, you mentioned local and touring artists. We're kind of a mix here. Of course, I live here on the Front Range, and these two have come from the East Coast. I usually go back to the East Coast, and we convene and do some shows, do a tour. It's really nice to have them out here a mile high and making some great music here for the next week or so.
That's great.
Great to be here.
I should mention, we share a little history with KGNU, a little birthday history. We were born the same year KGNU was born. 1978, right, for KGNU? Well, 1978 is the year that we three met as college students at a conservatory back in Virginia. And we found this interest in Celtic music. There was no Celtic music at this conservatory. It was all about classical music. And so we found time during the, you know, between classes and during the day where we'd get together and play tunes like you just heard. And 1978 was a good year, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to give a shout out to Yanira and O'Shea for your contribution to KGNU.
Hey, thank you.
Right.
Hey. Very exciting.
Wow. Good to hear. Shall we play some more music?
Off the California.
Yeah. We have a lot of instruments here. If you could see this on a video stream, you'd see we got almost all of the instruments in that last set, but not quite. Bruce has got a bouzouki here that he's going to play on this next pair of hornpipes. And Chaz has this a device called an electronic wind generator. So he's going to make some sounds with that. This pair of hornpipes is Off to California and the Peacock's Feather.
Thank you.
Thank you, studio audience. We may have to put the studio audience to work in a little while. We were introduced earlier as an Irish band. That's not entirely accurate because Celtic music is much more than just Ireland, right? It's Scotland and it's the Shetland Islands, and it's even North America, and it's Wales, and it's Bretagne, that peninsula of France that juts out into the Atlantic, and the Breton culture is very different from the rest of France. I know, I've been there. They even have their own language. And I'm going to take a poll of the studio audience here. How many of you speak Breton Gaelic? Really? Nobody ever says they do. One person speaks un peu. So could you hold on while I clue in the rest of the people? I'm going to give a quick translation of this next piece from
Breton. I think we're a little in trouble now.
She'll know all the words we can't say via FCC regulations in English. No, this is a song about, it's really a bit of an anthem, a Breton anthem, as they wanted to reestablish their culture. This goes back to the 60s when this movement happened, and it was really one man who happens to be a musician, Alain Stivell, who almost single-handedly dragged Breton culture back into some prominence. Well, the song goes back hundreds of years, and Breton culture goes back hundreds of years. And it tells the story of two farm families who put a long, hard year getting their crops ready for harvest. And then just before the harvest, they are invaded and overrun by barbarians. And the barbarians chase them off their farms, and the farmers have a long, hard winter with no crops, no harvest. And the invaders, meanwhile, lie around all winter bragging about how easy the country life is, because, of course, all the work has been done for them. And the farmers vow to return and reclaim their land, and it's the title of the song, "This Will Not Last Forever." So you can see, as I say, a bit of an anthem. And comes by way of Alain Stivell. La da 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 do, la da 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 do, la da 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 do, la da 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 do, la da 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 do, la 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 da 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 da 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 do, Speranzo, well, on whoever roll, and get out of doubt, and dagle dalle da da do, Padusa de Canavo, Padusa de Canavo, Aganazi, a dealer zeta magway as a digway, digway, young a mambra mandi veil, and get out of doubt, and dagle dalle da da do, to stay away warme, to stay away warme, malavaro lavaros. Malavaro lavaro, merci. Why don't we do another from Bretagne? Maybe put this studio audience to work a little bit. And no, I'm not going to make you sing in Bretagne. Sure. That's all right. but maybe you can just help us out. The style of singing that we just did is known as canadescan, or song and countersong. You heard how we kind of chased each other. That's how that works. And Now you get to be the discon. You get to be the countersong. All you have to do is sing what I sing, you know, when the time comes. You'll get it. We'll help. And this is a pair of Breton dancers, Marachine and Lavande de Tonne.
A little air.
And we're going to pump up the bellows here. There we go.
Wow.
Comes your part. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Again. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Now, front range listeners, where else do you get to hear this kind of community at a radio station? That's why KGNU is such a great community resource. Get those pledges happening and bring some of this music home.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. I'm really enjoying it over here. So would you like to start by introducing the band? I know you mentioned their names, but...
I will. On my right is on pipes, many pipes. He has small pipes and Ilian pipes. Penny whistle and the electronic wind generator is Chaz Fowler. And to my left on the fiddle and the bouzouki and the banjo, which we did not bring the banjo tonight, and vocal is Bruce Wilkin.
Thank you.
And on guitars and vocal, and Boren is me, Michael Dallala.
And it's really fun to hear this range of instruments. And I know our listeners don't have the advantage of being able to see you go through all these different instruments. You know, you can definitely hear the guitar and the fiddle. And I think it'd be interesting to hear some of the more lesser known instruments kind of in isolation rather than in the mix of everything, and kind of talk about each one just a little bit, because it's so fun to watch you go through so many different things.
Let's start with those small pipes.
Yeah, let's just let people hear the small pipes.
And the small pipes need to be activated, so to speak. They need air.
Well, they're still trying to get used to Colorado.
Yeah,
but they're bellow pipes, if I can get them hooked up again. There we go. And then I have to pump this.
Got to fill this bladder of air under his arm.
And we get it going. You hear the drones trying to speak out. And then you're going to hear probably a squeak because it's not used to the weather yet. Oh, nice. It's rare. I should say something about, you know, it's a bellow, a bagpipe, bellow instrument. And when we play notes, you know, like repeated notes, we use gracing or some kind of articulation in between to make the notes separated, you know. And I should show the other one or let people hear it. It's the Ilian bagpipe. Right now I just brought a simple one that's just drone and bag.
So I typically associate bagpipes specifically with the Scottish area.
Right.
Are these both from the Scottish area? Or
the
do they...
small pipes are Scottish, and the Ilian pipes are Irish, if I can get to it. And with they're for inside. They're for small ensemble.
We couldn't have the Highland Pipes.
Yeah, the Highland Pipes are very loud. They're very, you know, the best.
The studio audience would attack us.
Or there would be the something would go out.
Somebody's losing that battle. Yeah, I will never forget the first time we recorded you on Highland Pipes. It was on Strayway Child. And I'd never recorded, at that point I'd done quite a few productions already, but I had never recorded Highland Pipes before. And we literally had him in another room. I had to repaint because it just took the paint right off the walls. I mean, it was incredible. Mm-hmm. But these were inside pipes, right?
Right. More for playing inside. But the Scottish Pipes has a smaller range. You know, just nine notes, a mixolydian scale with a leading tone. The Ilian pipes got a much larger range, so, and they're diatonic. And to get an idea. So it's much, much higher range, so works great with the fiddle player and the guitars.
So I'm curious, for the two different designs of the Scottish versus the Irish, is there a historical reason for the difference in designs, or they just happen to be in different areas and just evolved differently?
Good question, but here's the Scottish, okay, the mixolydian scale, I'm going to get a little technical. Pretty much with the Highland Pipes and the Scottish music, and even if you go into the Appalachian music, but the Scots come into the Appalachians, you hear the mixolydian scale. There you go. And it's so it's like some reason that's part of the scale. And I think another reason, because if you play, you know, what is it, a fifth to the tonic, you know, you can get a diatonic scale, but it's only going to go up to a fifth and down to the perfect fourth and back up to...
It's why that Breton dance we did, the melody is so small.
And
so.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it lends itself to pentatonic tunes, you know, like Amazing Grace. That's why everybody thinks that Highland Pipes, they will think of Amazing Grace. The Irish pipes, the Italian pipes, Union pipes is pretty much like what they originally we call. And somehow throughout time, they somewhere, someone kind of said, oh, Italian pipes, meaning elbow, you know, in Gaelic. But their birth or where they came from is really pastoral pipes that were created in Scotland. You know, and this instrument was called the new pipes, and that came around. I would say right at the turn into the 18th century, and it's due to the fact of what Bruce plays, the fiddle, and the fiddle came this popular instrument. The instrument that was just going to just take over the world, because one thing that instrument could do was play soft and loud, very long, big range of expression, where the bagpipes, you know, named the Highland pipes, or the they're loud and boisterous. And then with the idea of the Ilian pipes and the pastoral pipes, you can get a little bit of some kind of expression that's going on. And then there's a whole history on that I can talk about 5 hours about. But
but you're not going to?
No, I'm not going to.
Well, darn. I will say, you know, pipes exist all over the world.
Yeah. Right.
And they go back to, you know, pre-Christian times. But, I mean, think about it. Your sheep dies. You know, you just take apart that sheep, and you build an instrument.
It's the beginning of recycling.
Well, that's what I would do with my sheep, to be honest.
Yeah. You would take out its stomach, and you would maybe hollow out its femur, and you'd plunge it into that thing, and maybe put some pretty cloth on it so it doesn't stink, and you got yourself a bagpipe. You know,
you
you're ready to go. So
it's the real deal.
Yeah, but all over the world. Sicily has pipes. North Africa has pipes.
Egypt.
Egypt has pipes. Yeah, all over the world. So, we're
but different scales.
Yeah. That's
different
fascinating.
Tonalities.
I had no idea. And Bruce, aside from fiddle, what else are you playing?
Well, this is the bouzouki, which is originally a Greek instrument, and got picked up. I don't know, I'd say maybe in the 70s, people started playing, particularly the band Dedannen. I think the bouzouki player is Alec Finn of Dedannen. And there's good fiddle player Frankie Gavin with him also. And basically, it's like a mandolin times two, an octave mandolin. And it's also similar, I think, to the tenor banjo through tune the same way, which is also picked up by Irish musicians. Actually started with the tenor banjo. It turns out that there was one in my house when I was growing up. My dad, apparently in the 40s, there were door-to-door salesmen going around selling tenor banjos. And my first tenor banjo was because of my father-in-law, because he had taken lessons when he was younger, and we got him one for Christmas one year. And he unwrapped it and started playing it right away. He just went right into it. You know, he hadn't played it for years. And but then he got arthritis, so I took it away from him. And he couldn't play anymore. So, but yeah, the one that was in my family, I really didn't even know about it until the day my dad sold it. So anyway.
It does speak to how Celtic music is a... is an assimilating music. There's this aspect of music from this part of the world that has traveled and gone to other parts of the world, not always by intent, sometimes by force. But wherever it goes, it finds instruments that can come to the music instead of just exporting the music. And the banjo is a great example. That banjo was actually really popular in American jazz bands. It was before there were amplified guitars. You had a banjo because it could cut through the early bands. And the bouzouki, while it comes from Greece, slid in real nicely because it was able to make chords the same way as that banjo. Even the guitar. Guitar hasn't been around but since the 50s, when all kinds of so-called folk music started to become marketable. I won't say popular as much as marketable. And you had to have a guitar to be part of that folk movement. And guitar was actually kind of frowned upon in early Celtic music. So we've all been assimilated into this music, from the electronic to, 20s, 30s era banjo.
Jazz is not the first thing I associate with banjo, so I learned something new today. Thank you.
The four-string banjo, it was a raucous sound. Because unlike the way we played in Irish music, which is single-note lines, melodies with a pick, that banjo was pounded out four-note chords. I mean, you were just wailing away on it. Again, you were part of the rhythm section of those early jazz ensembles.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Could we hear just a little bit of the bouzouki in isolation?
Absolutely.
It's just such a fascinating instrument.
You can play melody, but you can also do chording with it. And a lot of the chords I do don't have the third in them, so they work with either major or minor tunes.
That's great. And we also have percussion in the room.
We do. Balran is the Irish Gaelic word for frame drum, wood frame drum. And that's basically what I'm holding here. There's a round frame made of wood and a goat skin for a head. And it's played with a cylindrical stick that's called a tipper. And you've got to be careful how you talk about this instrument, I found out. We were doing a concert or a festival somewhere back on the East Coast, and I remember a reporter came to interview us, talk to us about the music and the instruments, and did exactly what Riley just did, went around all the instruments and got to the drum, and I said, well, it's called a Balran, and it's a wood frame drum, and it's got a goat skin stretched over it, and I play it with this stick called a tipper. Well, that's not how it came out in the newspaper the next day. What came out in the newspaper was, and Dalala plays a Balran, a drum made from the skin of a goat that he beat with a stick. So you, big donation to PETA that year, just to get over that. Yeah, be careful what you say to the press. But the Balran is played a few ways, mostly badly, by a lot of players. Most players play the Balran way too hard. The Balran should be like the heartbeat of the music. It should really be just, and I'm not going to, I love our engineer way too much to play the way it's usually played, which is way too hard and way too fast, but George would lose his hearing, so I'm not going to do that. But it's a, right on. But it should be really just the heartbeat, the pulse. And you can actually get quite a few tones out of it. The hand that's not beating the head is actually muffling the head too. So there's a little dual hand action going on here. And okay, here's where the compressor is going to be useful. You can get what we would call rim shots too. And you can mix them up. So we try to get a big range of things going on. And this one is actually a drum that can be tuned. I don't believe there's anything that's an unpitched instrument, although books will tell you otherwise. I think all things that you hit have a pitch. And this one I can actually tune, and I have a pretty good idea where we're going to be in various tunes, so I've actually made those adjustments ahead of time. And yeah, that's the story on the ballroom.
Very cool. Well, it's such a pleasure to have you here in the studio. Again, for those of you listening, you're listening to the Cabaret program on KGNU Boulder, Denver. And just a reminder, if you are enjoying what you're listening to, right now is a really, really great time to donate. It is a spring membership drive, and people who donate during this show, so for the next 20 minutes, you can get a free gift of a CD by The Unfortunate Rakes. And I'm so excited to hear what else is on your CD. So if you'd like to donate, again, ways to do that would be to go to kgnu.org or to call and talk to Gavin or Jennifer. And the phone number is 303-449-4885. So would you guys like to play some more tunes for us?
Sure.
The Polkas?
These two guys have the... have the curse of playing with a Libra, and I will frequently just like pull things out of the nethers, you know, of, and they're, you know, they're, what is he gonna call up now, you know? We've played some dances. We haven't played an air. An air is a melody that was at one point sung, perhaps. They're free, they're very, rhythmically loose tunes, and this particular air is from the only composer that Ireland can claim as its own, and from dating back to the 18th century. His name was Turlough O'Carolan, and O'Carolan was a prolific composer. He wrote many tunes. He wrote a lot of tunes called planxtes, which are in fact patron tunes. He was a blind itinerant harper, and he would wander the countryside on his horse, and his assistant would lead him and go from town to town, and they'd bang on doors and say, "I'll write you a tune for dinner and a beer," you know, that kind of thing. And so there are all these tunes named after people that are planxtes, and then they're really beautiful, beautiful melodies, some of the most beautiful melodies ever written. And this one is actually called Shebeg Shemur, which translates as the big hill and the little hill. And I'm going to start it as an air, and then we'll see where it goes. Thank you. we ended up as a waltz.
It's really beautiful. Is that on your album as well?
That's on a couple of recordings, actually. That's on our very first which is now, unfortunately, out of print, as they say. But it's also on our live recording, Rakes Alive. And I've also recorded it solo. That's one of our favorite tunes, definitely. Yeah. Carolyn, as I said, was a very prolific composer. And can we play him another one? We like to, every time we've made a recording, we found tunes.
Oh.
We found tunes that nobody else has played. And we're pretty good researchers. We find things that haven't been recorded, and we want to broaden the literature a little bit. And we found this one tune, and we're like, why is nobody playing this tune? It's another Planxty, named for someone named Mrs. Sterling. We don't know much about Mrs. Sterling, but she somehow warranted this tune. And we thought it sounded a lot of fun, and we thought, well, we'll record it, and it will become part of the literature. Nobody has recorded this tune still, so I don't know what's wrong with people. We love it. Let's play the tune that nobody else plays, Mrs. Sterling. A one, two, one, two, three, maybe some of our Celtic brethren will hear it again and reconsider add it to their repertoire. Kind of makes you wonder who Mrs. Sterling was and what she was all about, though.
It does.
It was a rock and roll tune for the 1700s, I think. Yeah.
So I really appreciate that you're doing so many instrumental tunes. It seems that a lot of what we're exposed to through Western music, at least, is very much focused on lyrics, with the exception of jazz. And I was wondering, you know, as musicians who play a lot of instrumental music, how does instrumental music still tell a story?
That's a great question, Riley. I think, you know, you guys can speak for yourselves, but I think all music tells a story. I think when I'm speaking to instrumentalists, whether as if I'm doing a workshop or even if I'm just conversing with colleagues who are instrumentalists, the conversation always seems to come around to I'll make a comment about their voice, and it doesn't mean they're a vocalist. I could be talking to an oboist or a saxophonist or a clarinetist and be talking about the voice they bring to music, because I think whatever instrument you play, whether you're blowing into it or pounding on it or bowing it, you're giving voice to something. You're giving voice to something inside. Hopefully, you're not just connecting the dots playing by rote. Hopefully, there's something you're connecting to in that moment that is coming out in your music. So the voice as an instrument does that pretty directly, I think, with listeners. But I think good instrumentalists do that too. They bring their voice out on whatever instrument they're playing. That's my take on it.
I'm over there just thinking, it's sound painting. It's actually, you when you hear a piece, and a piece that is just performed just so well, and you can close your eyes and you're out there. You are the story. You're caught in the whole painting. It's just this whole, like, it could be the mellows, the trees. It can be from an event, like some of these Irish tunes, like the Napoleon Retreat. You almost can feel the soldiers marching across the Rhine. You know? So it's like a metaphysical painting that's happening before you, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, but I was going to, you know, talk about abstract art as well. I mean, it's whatever the viewer sees, it tells a different story to that viewer. And the same, I think, is true of the listeners.
We were actually having a conversation about this earlier today, weren't we? We were talking about transcending the instrument. Remember that conversation mm-hmm. over lunch? And we were talking about the players that we love and the musicians that we love are all musicians who transcend the instrument. And I think that's kind of what your question is speaking to. You know, I listen to a lot of guitarists, not always because I want to. They kind of force themselves upon me, and that's I love it. But, if I can give them any advice, it's find your voice. Don't be so guitaristic. Don't just play where your fingers take you. You know, do it the other way around. And it's a long-winded way of saying transcend your instrument. And that's I think, how instrumental music and vocal music can really speak to people. We live in a really rich musical area here. I know a lot of transcendent musicians in this area. So that's my way of getting people to get out and hear some live music and transcend with them, be part of that experience. Because one of the reasons we invited some studio audiences, it's a feedback loop, too. It's not just finding your voice and speaking out like a bumper sticker or a Facebook post. It's a feedback loop. It's communication. It's getting energy back from the people who are listening on a good night, you know. So we hope that you become part of that, either as a player or a listener, you know, everybody.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we are so thrilled to have you in the studio to be part of this. And, you know, for our listeners who would like to hear more about you, see where you're playing, where can they see you or where can they look for more information for you?
You can go to our label website, which is fallingmountain.com. This tour schedule is posted up there. We go up to Wyoming tomorrow, so you're welcome to come to Wyoming with us, to Cheyenne. At the Laramie County, Cheyenne Library. And the next day we'll be doing a noontime concert at Front Range Community College in Boulder County, Longmont. And the night after that we're in Fort Collins at the Harmony Library. And Saturday we have a show in Denver at the Church of St. Peter and Paul on 2nd Street. I will say that one is sold out, but my spies tell me that people do reserve tickets for the show, and then, something else comes up, because this is Colorado, right? You know, so if you want to come take a chance in Denver and wait in line till everybody's seated, I bet you we can shoehorn you in. And the beauty of all of every show I just mentioned, I don't think I've ever been on a tour that did this. Every show is free. Free. So you can take that money you're not spending on a ticket and donate it through a pledge to KGNU and feel really good about supporting the music two ways. You know, you're going out for live music and you're supporting a community radio station.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, and you still have a few more minutes to donate during this show. And for people who donate during this show, you will get a gift of the Unfortunate Rakes CD delivered to you, which is a really, really great gift. Thank you so much for sharing your music.
Oh, thank you, Riley.
Yeah. So again, if you are interested in donating, this is the spring membership drive. You can go to kgnu.org or call 303-449-4885 and talk to Gavin or Jennifer about that. So we have just a couple more minutes left. Do you want to send us out with one more tune?
Let's do that. We'll do a polka set, you know? And I've got to say thank you to both Riley and to George Figgs, who's such a fabulous engineer, always giving great sound. And to our studio audience. You know, it's been fabulous having you guys here. Thanks a lot. We're going to do the Bally Desmond polka set.
Are you ready?
I hear some sound now. There we are, folks. How are you all doing? This is the Fun Drive, and this is KGNU. And we have Corriente this evening. Where? On KGNU, Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM and 1390 AM. We have Ellen in the studio, and we have Elena in the studio, and we have Danielle in the studio as well.
Hello.
And we want to let all of you folks out there know that this is one of those nights when we've got a goal to set, a $300 goal. And we also have a matching challenge from Yadahay Gardens, who are offering 2-for-1 for new members. For those of you who are not yet members, Yadahay Gardens is offering you 2 times the value of your donation in plants. For those of you that are current members, and for those of you that are just want to add to your pledge, you get $1 worth of plants for every dollar that you donate to KGNU right now. You can go online at kgnu.org, or there's a number of other great, great benefits to becoming a member, and some of those are that you get access to new music. Elena has brought the new CDs and is going to tell us something about them right now.
Well, buenas noches. Buenas noches.
There we are. There we are. Buenas noches. And thank you so much, Leo and Danielle. And we'll be hearing from Catherine later from the Denver studio. But first, I just want to say thanks to the Unfortunate Rakes. That was really great music, and I really liked hearing it. And also say thanks to all of you who have been calling and who have continued to be supporters of KG.